Non-Monogamy Help is a podcast where your questions about open, non-monogamous or polyamorous relationships are answered. Our host, Lola Phoenix, will consult a licensed therapist with over a decade of experience to address your problems. Names and locations have been changed or censored to keep your questions anonymous. You're listening to Non-Monogamy Help, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 10 of Non-Monogamy Help. My name is Lola Phoenix. Non-Monogamy Help is a relationship advice podcast for people in non-monogamous, polyamorous, and open relationships that comes out every other week. If you would like to have your question answered, you can send your letter to nonmonogamyhelp@gmail.com and they'll be read in either the podcast or the column anonymously, and you can specify which if you'd really like to. If you haven't read the column, you can get it at medium.com/non-monogamy-help. The questions answered on the column are not the same ones as the ones answered on the podcast. If you want to get the podcast and the columns a little bit before anyone else does, you can subscribe to the newsletter at tinyletter.com/non-monogamy-help, no hyphens. And if you want to be amazing, you can become a patron of the podcast and the column at patreon.com/lolaphoenix. And if you pledge $5 or more a month, then your name gets read at the end of the podcast. If you would like it to be read, then I will read it at the end. And you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/non-monogamy-help. I want to apologize in advance for this episode. You might not notice it, but it's a bit of a quicker one because I actually recorded it ages ago, but something went wrong with the audio and it was completely unsalvageable. So I'm having to re-record it at a moment's notice, so apologies for any background noise. If you hear anything, I think maybe I hear it more often than other people do, but just putting it out there as a caveat for this episode, so sorry if you hear background noise. Doing my best. Cool. So let's read the next letter for the podcast. I'm being really awkward today. Anyway, next letter. I'm in a lesbian relationship married for almost 9 years with 2 children under 4. One drunken night last year, my wife instigated a threesome with a mutual male friend, and for a few weeks we were both into it, but the stress of it, with a person well known to both of us, caused us to end it. My wife still wanted additional outside sexual relations and found one on Tinder, moving forward with meeting another woman after I angrily told her to go ahead and do what she wanted. After that, we worked on healing our relationship, but I was unable to fully commit out of fear she would eventually look elsewhere for sex again, as she continued to express interest in it. In October, I approached her with a plan to open our relationship within certain boundaries, one of which being that as long as I was providing her enough sex, she wouldn't look elsewhere. For that whole month, I was more sexual than I ever have been, touching her all day and trying to initiate sex. This idea of having a certain number of encounters was a turnoff for her, and she shut down sexually while encouraging me to hook up with that same guy again without her. I did one time after finding out she had been with him again alone, and found the entire thing too stressful. I asked her if we could take November to focus on our relationship alone. We did a lot of work on our communication and relationship in that month for the first time since last spring, I felt good about us again. As soon as November was over, she asked if we could talk about opening the relationship again. I told her I really didn't want to, that I thought we needed to continue working to get us to a better place. She was angry that I changed the goalposts and thinks that our relationship is just fine. Again, in anger, I told her to do whatever she wanted, but to know that by going to seek an outside relationship at this time, she would be hurting me, and that the first night we had a threesome was the biggest regret in my life. A few days later, she tells me she wants to set up a date for the following week. Again, I tell her she can do what she wants, but if she is dating someone else, then I am going to consider our relationship on hiatus and ask her to move to the guest room. She says she will think about it. Finally, she agrees to hold off until after Christmas for the sake of our children. A few days later, she wants to talk again and points out that she can handle additional sex without losing our relationship. I don't doubt that. I doubt me. She also says that she just really needs a friend outside of our relationship, but she needs it to be a friend with benefits. I tell her again that I am not up for an open relationship yet, that I think we are still not in a good place, and that I need time. I don't want to be in an open relationship right now. We have 2 little kids, and life is hard enough without bringing more people into our lives. I want to focus on our family and each other. I'm not fully against the idea forever, and even said right now I'm okay if she makes out with someone else randomly. I feel trapped because I'm the stay-at-home mom, and I know that I have to give her whatever she wants, because if she leaves, then I'm going to give up everything I want with my family, because I'll have to go back to work and send the toddler to daycare and give up my dreams of homeschooling our older son. I'm devastated right now that she had to keep pushing finishing this before Christmas. I feel like I'm pushing her to want it more because right now I can't bring myself to be cuddly and sexual with her, but I don't know what to do. Please help. So the first thing I want to say is that I'm sorry that you're in this position because it's really, really horrible for you. You're really, really hurting and it seems like you have no other choice but to go along with something that you deeply don't want to go along with. I think it's difficult because initially I wouldn't suggest that you guys are inherently incompatible. It might seem like that on the surface because obviously right now she really wants to have an open relationship. She really wants other sexual experiences and you're not necessarily interested in that right now. But I don't necessarily think that that means you're at base incompatibility because you have and are demonstrating some flexibility, but I think there's just some problems with communication and also some problems understanding what the motivations are behind opening your relationship, because I think that when you start off with these misunderstandings, it can often spell a little bit of inevitable disaster. And I do think that quite a lot of people who open up their relationships and start with these assumptions and then kind of end up in similar situations. So the first thing that I want to address is the idea of just opening and closing your relationship as a way to deal with problems. A lot of people make this mistake when they start off in non-monogamy. They think that they open their relationship, they experience a lot of unhappiness and a lot of stress and a lot of difficulty, and then they close it as a response to that. And there are a couple of problems wrong with that. Firstly, I think people assume that when they open their relationship that it's necessarily going to bring a lot of happiness and joy. And I think it can, such as the example that you gave, like you started off in this because you had this supposedly good at the time experience with this person, and then sort of it became sour as things went along. And I think that people don't anticipate that. They start to experience fear and jealousy and a lot of very common things, and then they read kind of polyamory advice, which sort of says, makes you kind of feel like you shouldn't feel jealous if you're well put together. And then they go, oh, well, clearly I'm not well put together, so we'll just close it until I'm in a better place. And the problem with that is that basically, closing your relationship might sort of, it's kind of like a plaster on a gaping wound. It's not really going to address the inherent problems that are in your relationship, and it'll actually kind of make things worse in some ways, because when it's closed, if the problems only present themselves whenever there are other people added to the mix, then when it's closed, those problems aren't going to present themselves. So you're not really going to be faced with the same challenges. It's sort of like saying that you can learn to swim by, you know, pretending to swim and doing the motions outside of water. And every time you get in the water and you experience the fear and you're like, I can't swim, I'm just going to get out again and I'm going to like practice the strokes when I'm not in the water. It doesn't really work because you need to, you know, in order for you to feel secure with your partner again, in the context of an open relationship, your relationship has to be open for that to actually work. So closing the relationship isn't really going to fix those problems. Deciding not to, you know, allow this, or okay, you can make out with people, but you can't do this or you can't do that. Those are also kind of delaying the inevitable, because what you're not doing is addressing the feelings that you have, the feelings of fear you have, and because you're not addressing them, they're only going to continue and continue to grow. So that's why it doesn't work to kind of open and close things and open and close things. The other thing is that, you know, you haven't really talked to each other about how an open relationship would work, and so therefore you are very understandably afraid. I think the problem with a lot of introductory polyamory advice, again, is that, and so many people will say to people, well, if you're afraid, it's because you're insecure. If you're afraid, it's because, you know, you don't know yourself well enough, or you just can't do it. You're not good enough for it. And that's just wrong. There are a lot of reasons that people feel fear and insecurity in relationships, and it isn't necessarily because they don't trust their partner, or it isn't necessarily because they don't trust themselves. It's that, you know, everyone, you know, when you started on your first monogamous relationship, I'm pretty sure you were afraid, and a lot of people are afraid when they start their first relationships, but they have this blueprint that society gives them for how monogamous relationships are supposed to work, and they have these sort of cultural signposts of what to expect and what to, you know, what comes when and where, and so they don't feel as afraid in a lot of situations because they have that like cultural reassurance. Non-monogamy isn't like a cultural standard. It's not something a lot of people know about, and pretty much a lot of people colloquially will think that open relationships are doomed to failure. So you don't have any models and you don't have any guidelines of what to expect and what kind of, you know, footsteps to follow. So you kind of have to forge your own path. And because you have to forge your own path, it's really scary and you're going to be afraid. And I think what would be enormously helpful for both you and your partner is if you want to have an open relationship, focus the time into thinking about what that looks like, especially because you have children and you have every reason to be worried and terrified that like you have to go along with this or you lose this really important position you have as being a stay-at-home mom. And it's a really fair question to ask. Like, you do have two children. That is a lot of your time. And I always say to people, like, you know, I'm not going to be telling anyone how to raise their kids, but I do very strongly feel like if you have a child and if you are the primary caregiver or a caregiver of that child, then you need to that child needs to be your primary focus in life. You need to figure out them first and foremost, and your partner needs to be just as willing and devoted to those children as they are to anyone, including you and any other relationship they have. And I mean, it might be that you're, you know, I'm not trying to say that your partner's not, but I think that it's very fair to wonder what an open relationship looks like when you have two children. You know, is your partner pulling their weight or her weight, so to speak, when it comes to childcare? You know, you don't want to end up in a situation, understandably, where, you know, you're not necessarily that interested in dating, and that doesn't necessarily mean that she can't date and that you can't have an open relationship, but you don't want to end up in a situation where she's, you know, has 5 dates when we can, you are stuck, you know, doing childcare all those 5 days. And I mean, yes, you are a stay-at-home mom, but that doesn't mean that you don't have your own life and that you don't have things that you want to do and that you're not allowed to have a break once in a while. So sitting down and thinking about, like, what does an open relationship mean to her? What is her situation that she would want? Can you establish some, not rules, but kind of ideas of like how this looks physically? You know, is Tuesday night date night, and whatever she wants to do, she can go out, that's her date night. Maybe Friday night's your date night. Like, have some real physical tangible ideas of what an open relationship means, and then that will be really helpful for you to not feel so scared, because you'll be anchored by something. And then I think the other issue that you have, like the biggest red flag that I see in all of this, and one thing that really kind of worries me, and it's not on me to like say how your wife should make friends with people, but I absolutely do agree that you both do need friends outside of your relationship. But the fact that she's like, you know, the couple things that are kind of raising red flags here is that she's insistent that she has to have a friend with benefits. I don't think that's true. With all due respect, and like, I know plenty of people who are very interested in hooking up with people. Casual sex is just something they enjoy. You know, they don't, all of their friends are not friends with benefits. You know, it's a bit ridiculous to say that. You know, it's fine to say, yes, we should have friends outside of our marriage. Absolutely, 100%. You should have friends outside of your partner. Your partner should not be your only friend. However, to say that this has to be a friend with benefits, it's just not realistic and not really fair. And it's just a very odd request to me. And the other thing about what she's doing is that she's not really giving you a lot of space, and she's very insistent that this happen within a certain time frame. Now, on the one hand, I do understand that she's frustrated that you've moved the goalposts, because, you know, it is kind of a weird thing to sort of say, okay, that's another reason why opening and closing the relationship doesn't really work, is because it puts a time frame on it. If you say, all right, we're closing the relationship for 1 month, and then after 1 month, we'll open it, and then at the end of the 1 month, like, all that person has to do is wait for that month to end. And it's not to say that I don't think that she's putting in any effort to make you guys work, but what I'm saying is that when you put a time frame on it, you kind of have to go with it, whether or not you're ready at the end of the month for it to close. If you keep going, another month, understandably she's going to get annoyed, because you've put forth a time frame and now she can't trust that the time frame that you've put forward is actually your word and what's going to happen, and that creates a lot of confusion and inconsistency, and that is understandable to, you know, be concerned over. However, you know, nobody, to the best of my knowledge, you haven't included it in the letter, nobody here has any terminal illnesses. Nobody here is on any time frame. You know, you do have time. I don't understand why she's pushing this so hard for this to happen so soon, especially when, you know, you've been together for a while, you do have two kids. Like, there is a lot of things taking up your time, and you make the very valid argument that you're just like, we have enough on our plate without having to deal with more things. And this is more things. You know, opening a relationship is a big changing decision. I mean, I would argue that you've already opened it, so you've already kind of, you know, more or less, I do kind of think once you've opened something, it's kind of, you can't really put that cat back in that bag, more or less. But, you know, putting a time frame on it isn't really helpful. And I don't think, you know, I can understand where she's frustrated because you have changed the goalposts. But at the same time, equally, pushing you into the situation isn't going to fix it either. So she also needs to be cognizant of that. She needs to realize that you know, clearly you have a problem with establishing and keeping to your boundaries because you keep just frustratingly agreeing with things, and that must be really confusing for her. I mean, either she knows that you're frustratingly agreeing with things and is going with it anyway, knowing that you're not going to be happy with it, because when you actually did set your boundaries down, when you actually did say, you can do this, but our relationship is ending, you're going to move into the guest room, she didn't do it. So, you know, it's hard for me to say not being in the room when that happens if you frustratingly saying yes is really, really obvious from her point of view. But you guys need to get better at kind of not putting time limits on boundaries and also kind of respecting what those boundaries are. And communicating them clearly. It's hard for me to say that I don't blame her. You know, if you said yes to something and she went ahead with it, and, you know, sometimes tone isn't, I'm a person who sometimes I can't read between the lines, and I'm not very good at understanding tone, so I would be quite frustrated if someone said I could do, or said they were fine with something, or said, you know, more or less gave me permission, which I don't really like to do for other reasons, and then turned around and said, well, I actually wasn't happy with that. That can be very hard to work with, because then you're kind of, you know, from her position, if that threesome was kind of your worst experience and your biggest regret in life, well, you didn't say worst experience, you said it was a regret, then it's hard to say, like, how can she go on any of your yeses in the future? So I think that, you know, equally she needs to stop rushing you, but also I do think that putting time frames on things isn't helpful for you or her. I also want to say that another thing that kind of raised kind of a flag for me in this is that your perception of why she's interested in polyamory might be a bit off, and I think that is something that might continue to trip you up, because your response to her wanting an open relationship was to say, okay, you can do it, but only if you don't get enough sex from me, and I, you know, you tried your hardest to, like, provide as much sex as possible in that 1 month, and that it really misunderstands. I mean, I'm assuming for her why she's interested in polyamory, but generally speaking, it's not necessarily, like, most people are not interested in polyamory or opening their relationship because one partner isn't good enough for them. And I think a lot of people, especially because so much of the culture that they're in endorses monogamy by saying, like, oh, you're the only one for me, you're my everything, da 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 da, they start believing that if someone is interested in an open relationship, it means that one person isn't good enough for them. And we don't really say that about children, like having children. Like, you don't have two children because one wasn't good enough for you. It's not really how it works. Like, she may be just interested in having other sexual experiences in her life, and that doesn't mean that sexual experiences with you aren't fulfilling any need for her. They are fulfilling a need, but it's just not the same need. It's just a bit different. Another quite common metaphor that people use is, like, just because you want to go out for dinner doesn't mean someone hates your cooking. And I think that's a really apt comparison as well. Just try and and I think if you sit down, like I said, and establish what the ideal is for polyamorous relationship, like why she's interested in polyamory and what she wants out of it, then that might help lead you to a better understanding that it's not about you being inadequate, because I do think a lot of your pain here is coming from this assumption that you're inadequate, and that's why she's interested in it. But I'm, you know, I can't speak for her, obviously, but I'm fairly certain, as with most people who are interested in open relationships, it's not because one person is necessarily inadequate. That isn't really what it's about. So I think that having that understanding and remembering that will honestly help you. Also, I think it's helpful for you to remember that, and one thing that I remind people of constantly is that a monogamous relationship isn't inherently safer. And I think that's another bit about opening and closing the relationship that people do, because they think, oh, if it's closed, it's monogamous, it's safer. And it really isn't. A monogamous relationship, you know, someone being monogamous with someone doesn't mean that they won't fall in love with someone else. It doesn't mean that they won't desire someone else. You know, you can't prevent that. Nobody can prevent that. It's not, again, it's not an inadequacy on your part. It's not a deficiency on your part. It's just part of, you know, things that you can't control. There isn't anything that you can do to stop anyone that you're with from falling in love or being sexually interested in someone else. There's just nothing you can do to change that. It's just something that is going to happen, most likely. The only thing that closing a relationship or having a monogamous relationship does is, you know, sets boundaries around the way people are supposed to behave. But it doesn't necessarily stop those feelings from happening. So I think that's really helpful to remember, because closing it can feel safer, and you do feel safer, but again, it's kind of an illusion of safety. And then it keeps getting, you know, clearly your partner wants to have an open relationship, and that's understandable. And I think if you said, I don't want it, then I would say you're at base incompatibility. But I think the fact that you are kind of willing to be flexible, and maybe what's been tripping you up is kind of her pushing, and also equally some misconceptions you have about the reasons she might be interested in this, might have been making this more difficult for you than it needs to be. So I think that's really helpful. The other thing, last thing I would say, is that if you're going to attempt to do this, and if you're going to open your relationship up, it really helps for you to think about how this benefits you as well. I do think that people, you know, there are plenty of cases of people who are monogamous with their partners, but their partners date other people, so they're technically monogamous people within a polyamorous relationship, and that is a thing. It's not completely unheard of. However, I do think that for the most part, if you're going to do this, you should have a good idea. Or what really helped me when I had anxiety and fear and terror that my partner would leave me or whatnot, is to have a good idea as to why non-monogamy benefits you. What do you get out of it? Why do you want to do it? And that can kind of bring you back. I can tell you why you would want to do it. There are lots of reasons. You can probably find them online if you want to know why different people decided to go about polyamory. Some people feel it's an inherent part of their sexuality. Other people don't. But, you know, you're welcome to explore that. So, to kind of sum up, and one thing I'll say as well in this summary is I do think a non-monogamy friendly therapist, couples therapist, should definitely be helping you guys if you can afford it, because it's just good to have that person to bounce things off of, and who can kind of help you negotiate boundaries and also realize where you are either relinquishing your boundaries or you're not communicating them, and also help her realize, maybe as well, to have a little bit more patience and also address, she needs to have someone to address that situation whereby she thinks that, you know, a friend has to be a friend with benefits. I just think that that is a pretty ridiculous notion, and it illustrates kind of an issue that she has that you can't fix that she needs to deal with. So yeah, to sum up, you know, I do think that it is a salvageable situation, especially because you're willing to be flexible, but I do think that you need to stop opening and closing things up, because that is only delaying the inevitable. I think you should open it up, but you should have some really long talks, preferably with a polyamory-friendly therapist and your partner, about what polyamory means to your relationship physically and mentally and emotionally and all that sorts of stuff. Think about it in real physical terms, and that'll probably help you feel a lot better. I do think that you need to maybe also go through the reasons why she's interested in polyamory and understand that it's not a reflection of your inadequacy. I think that you need to, like, slow things down, but stop putting time frames on things. It is a little bit silly that she's like, well, I think the relationship is fine. A relationship is two people or more people. And one person going, well, this is fine for me, doesn't really work. I think as well, like, yes, have friendships outside, but address that situation where she thinks that it has to be a friends with benefits situation, because it doesn't. And yeah, just think about, you know, what this means for you and what benefit you get out of it, because I do think that is a big part of your decision to continue to go with this, as well as something that will help you when you're having really difficult parts of it. And last but not least, like, the fact that you're afraid, the fact that you're nervous is very, very normal and very, very understandable. And you might read a lot of advice that says, like, that if you're feeling insecure or scared, then maybe you can't hack it. And I don't think that's necessarily true. A lot of people are nervous and scared in these situations because it is a brand new stressful thing to bring into your lives. And it does seem like a pretty big need for your partner, but there are ways to do this that are less blunt and less and more understandable of your feelings and understandable of ways that and can work in ways that can adapt to your feelings and cope with them, rather than just forcing this to happen. Because equally, your partner should be really aware that forcing you into the situation is not gonna make it magically happen either. It's just gonna make it worse. It's gonna make it less likely to happen if she forces you into it. But yeah, I really hope that helps, and good luck. Awesome. Thank you so much for listening to Non-Monogamy Help. Yeah, I really, really appreciate it. Sorry again for the background noise, as you can hear the siren right now. I had to record this. My whole recording was completely messed up, which is a lot of fun. And just before I let you go, I'm starting something new at the end of the podcast for people who have pledged $5 or more, who have supported me for over a year. I'm going to be saying your names at the end of the podcast, if you say it's okay. There are a couple of people, well, lots of people that I've sent messages to, and I haven't got a confirmation to make sure they're okay with it. So I just want to make sure you're okay with it. Those people who have gotten back to me, who are pledging $5 or more per month and have supported me for over a year, are Laura Boylan, Chris Albury Jones, Lena Franzi, and James Wartell. Thank you so much for being awesome. If you haven't heard your name being read, please check your inbox on Patreon. You might have a message for me, just making sure you're okay with it, and you can tell me which name you'd like me to use. I don't want to assume. So yeah, that's extra incentive for you to pledge $5 or more and be an amazing person. Anyway, thank you so much, and you'll get the column next week, and you'll hear the next podcast the week after next. Exciting. Thanks. You've been listening to Non-Monogamy Help. Our podcast music has been provided by Chris Albury Jones at albury-jones.com, and the art was made by Dom Jung at domduong.com. Thank you for listening.